Chapter 5. Whiplash. Baltimore, Maryland. 2:57 p.m. Thin curls of cedar landed neatly on the square of tissue laid upon the killer's desk, graphite dust falling into a fine powder to scatter amongst the shavings. A razor's edge was so much more efficient for exacting a point force sketches than that of a cheap plastic sharpener. And the Ripper would use nothing less than the best when recreating the image of his sweet William, his fallen angel. So many people saw him as a fragile thing of easily chipped body and mind, something breakable and delicate. They didn't see the monster lurking beneath his skin, the creature made of shadows, teeth, and jagged claws, hungry for blood and looking to get out. As free will had been present in men, if only waiting to be awoken by the knowledge of the Apple of Eden, will held all the darkness of a killer waiting to be awoken with the blood of his own first kill. He needed only a push, the gentle hand of someone who could help guide him to his becoming. Hannibal was the serpent to tempt Will into greatness. William was Eve listening to his poison-laced words of honey and nectar. "My darling boy," he let a curl of a smile pull his lips, staring into the skittish eyes that so rarely met his own. "You must be feeling so abandoned right now. So very truly alone, lost in the heart of Bucharest without your friends or your dogs to keep you company." He touched a pencil line to the curve of her lip, making the bow an alluring kiss small and swell. "Nothing but the chaos of your mind and the memory of a kiss." Hannibal would have followed him if he could do so without drawing too much unwanted attention. They were not dating. This was only the beginning of the romance he was planning within Will's mind. People would question Hannibal's sudden abandonment of his life and his practice to follow a man he had no established romantic connection with, onto a case he had not been recruited for, and would not be receiving any pay or reimbursement for his time or expense. It had forced his hand to keep him at home and watch as William leave. But that hardly removed that piece from the board, only placed it in remission while he worked with what remained into another deceiving play. The completion of his sketch, an image of his fair William, shoulders in hand, staring back at him but past him with the intensity of realization and awaking, a bite of apple missing from the fruit in his hand, was interrupted by the buzzing of his cell phone across the flat of his desk. He was eagerly anticipating Will's next call, for the man to be longing and lonely and desperate to hear his voice and the sound of something familiar again, for him to long to sleep each night until he could no longer rest without the sound of Hannibal's smooth, accented voice in his ear. He was instead disappointed to see the call coming from Jack. "Good afternoon, Jack." Though his voice spoke with the promise of his full attention, Hannibal's mind wandered elsewhere, following the stroke of his hands as he focused graphite and charcoal onto the light and dark lines of the face that belonged to marble and stone.
"I assume you know of Will's departure to Bucharest,"
Jack said, matter of fact. He didn't wait for the doctor's reply.
"So you should already have an idea about what this call's about."
He sounded desperate, as though the proverbial rug had been pulled out from under his feet, and he were now grasping for straws. Hannibal stilled his pencil, laying the number 6 down as he leaned back in his chair to give the agent his full attention, as gears turned into pieces slowly moving across the board.
"I would like you to look at a murder for me. I need a profile."
Sector 3, Bucharest, 9:57 p.m.
"Where are we going?"
Will asked, trying not to sound like the fear of sudden death by brick wall was gripping him as he watched his life flash before his eyes.
The man couldn't drive, at least not in any legal capacity. Will would have felt safer riding the Goliath at Six Flags strapless than where he sat with Nigel behind the wheel. It reinforced that he desperately needed to research a few things regarding Bucharest as soon as he found the time and have a reliable internet connection.
"Back to my place,"
Nigel answered, as though they were taking a lazy cruise from the beach and not speeding down the unkept streets of Sector 3 that would be their future deaths.
"Would you rather I take you to yours?"
He looked at Will with a smile made for sharks and players, calm and collected with all the charm of a cat with a canary. Though his preference would have been his own location to the unknown with this stranger, Will couldn't remember where he was staying. Being dropped off while under the heavy influence of jet lag hadn't left his memory working at its full capacity. He hadn't even bothered opening the folder containing his new address, having left the house with the full intentions of just finding a coffee perk and retracing his steps home. That plan had flown out the window the moment he'd started to run,
So, whether we'll liked it or not, he would be spending the night at Nigel's. Your place is fine. He closed his eyes as they made a turn, praying to whoever would listen that his next breath not be his last. The drop of his stomach and the swing of the ass end told him they'd fishtailed turning the corner, as the wheels drove over the curb before coming to a surprisingly smooth stop. Will opened his eyes to see a parking lot, the car sitting about a half a foot from a brick wall that had him swallowing bile. Was any of that legal? Will tried not to trip getting out of the car, and fought the urge to kiss solid ground. He'd walk to work tomorrow.
The best part is that it was.
Nigel grinned, dropping the butt of his cigarette to crush underfoot, as he looked to Will like he was the most alluring piece of ass in the city. It made Will turn from the man to the concrete, as he tried not to shuffle under the intensity of his stare. Our driving is vastly different, he retorted instead. Much safer. The bad man chuckled in response.
Yeah, Hanny doesn't care for my driving either. I don't suggest getting a car if you can't keep up with her, darling. That's how it is on all the streets here.
That thought didn't leave Will feeling any safer as he followed Hannibal's double through the second pair of secured doors, and up to the third floor. It was a brick building, one of the older ones if Will had to guess, but the interior had been modernized. It looked as though the building had been gutted to a historical shell and remodeled, filling it with a new staircase and small elevator against the back wall. In an odd blend of both old and new, the building looked somewhere between beautiful and gaudy. The ancient walls had been slapped with a coat of fresh paint, while the windows, fashioned into a style no longer produced, had been polished into a crystal shine. It sat in direct contrast to the metal stairwell with a cheap rubber lining for better traction. Will doubted that the building would have met Hannibal's elite standards, but the strange contrast appealed to Will. It reminded him a little of his old farmhouse, the same foundation and old building with a handful of renovations, made to keep the house standing worn, but in good condition. Nigel's apartment was a whole other story. Nearly a story and a half in height, it was designed with an open concept that had rooms separated by the change in flooring instead of the walls. There was only one door. Will assumed it led to the bathroom, while the kitchen was marked with polished marble that changed into espresso wood flooring for the rest. An accent rug spread beneath the sofa and chair marked the living room, where a spiral staircase behind the couch led to a loft above that could be nothing else but the bad man's bedroom. Everything looked on the fresher side of new and high enough on the spectrum to be considered expensive. Plush leather couches in an oxblood red, he knew he would easily sink into, and real marble countertops of black streaked with gold. It was nothing like Hannibal's sophisticated style, yet still carried that similar taste of bold masculine colors and quality.
Make yourself at home,
Nigel said as he towed off his shoes and threw his jacket over the back of the stool chair on the kitchen island. There was no actual table present within the home. Will could easily see this man taking his meals on the go or at one of the local restaurants or cafes, the island serving its purpose for anything simple he might take at home. Nigel wasn't setting out a three-course dinner for anyone, another big step away from Hannibal to mark the brother as his own. Following example, Will towed off his sneakers and draped his jacket over the back of another chair, following Nigel into the kitchen as he filled two thick bottom tumblers with amber liquid and left a half-finished bottle of Glenfiddich on the counter. Will counted another similarity between the twins. They both liked good liquor, though this one seemed to prefer the harder variety to Hannibal's refined palate of wines. It suited Will fine. He needed to drink. Why did you help me? Will ventured, accepting the glass to take a sip, and then a swallow. The night had been too damn long to be playing nice with drinking etiquette. The abuse of good liquor had Nigel following suit, downing his own in two swallows and topping them off before taking his drink and the bottle to the couch.
You looked like you could use a hand.
You don't care about that, Will challenged, already regretting his words as they left his mouth. It was never clever to bite the hand that fed you, and in Will's case it was the hand that had saved his ass, brought him home, and was giving him good liquor. Will downed the rest of his scotch before he could say anything else stupid, and found the man leaning over to offer a refill. Will wasn't about to refuse. You're cruel, he elaborated further, winning no points in his favor, but not seeming to insult the man either. Nigel was wearing an almost amused expression, as he drank his pricey scotch with deep swallows instead of the savoring sips it deserved. I saw that in how you handled those thugs. You were brutal, timed, accurate. You enjoyed it.
Will watched his faded reflection distort in the ripples of amber and whiskey rocks, wondering what Nigel had seen in him to make him want to save him. Nigel could hardly contain his delight at the accurate telling of his character. Hanny hadn't been kidding when he'd said his William was a gift. He had read him like a book, and he'd barely even peeked behind the curtain. It made Nigel want him all the more, to throw him down and see what he could find hidden with those elusive stormy eyes, when they were forced to focus on him in clouded, unrelenting pleasure. Nigel wanted to ruin him until Will knew nothing else but Nigel.
"You keep saying pretty things like that, and I'll be taking you to bed."
The carnal look Will had seen in the parking lot was back, and the bad man more than a little serious about his offer of a shared bed for the night. "That's just your excuse," Will countered. "You were already interested."
"You read all of that in one little look?"
Nigel took another swallow. Will shrunk, swirling his glass through and the reflection staring back at him before he took a swig. It was good, better than what he usually drank, and probably ruining his palate for the cheap swill he kept back home. "I work as a profiler for the FBI. It's my job to look. That's why I'm here." Bingo. That was everything Nigel had needed to know. Hannibal had been sending him a warning to lie low so he wouldn't get caught, but he was also trying to force Nigel to take a vacation from his home while Will would be well within reach. His brother knew him so well. Of course Nigel would take the offered opportunity to look into a man he'd heard so much about, but could never touch and never see thanks to an ocean between them. He could touch now. He fully intended to.
"Do you think I'm a bad man?"
Nigel pressed, finishing his third glass and encouraging Will to do the same. Strong liquor helped loosen tongues, and he wanted Will's loose, his tongue and his pants.
"I know you're a bad man,"
Will offered. "But I don't know what for, and I don't want to know. I'm friends with your brother." Will wasn't interested in stirring up bad emotions between them or anyone else. For all he knew, it was Nigel's life choices that led to Hannibal's silence on his other half. The comment earned him a chuckle.
"Yeah, that's what I figured. Like I said before, you looked at me like you knew me. But as I've never seen you before, that look had to be for Hanny."
Hadn't met him, but knew him.
"He talks about you a lot."
Nigel topped off Will's glass, since the profiler was taking his damn sweet time in finishing it.
"One of his favorite subjects."
That earned a look. One for being a regular topic of conversation, and another for the mention of regular contact. He wasn't cutting ties then, just quiet on the subject of family. "He talks about me, and our conversations he's never mentioned you." Will glanced to the more than half-filled glass, more amused than offended at the blatant attempt to get him drunk. If Nigel thought Will was a lightweight, he was in for one hell of a surprise. After years of working on gut rot with cheap liquor to cope with his empathy and nightmares, it was going to take a lot more than a couple of drinks. He almost hoped the man had another bottle. The scotch was good, and if he was out to get him drunk, Will would happily drink him out of house and home for his efforts.
"He wouldn't. Neither would I. Family's private. I think there might be a photo of me in one of his sitting rooms."
Nigel shrugged, unbothered by the idea of being left unknown within his brother's life.
"You'll find the same here. I've got a picture of us in the back of a book and a couple of sketches folded on the table."
When he was happy, he hadn't decided to frame now that the muse was sitting before him. "What has he told you about me?" Will debated, nursing the rest of his glass. He was still suffering from the time change and hadn't eaten in hours. He doubted adding alcohol to that mess was going to help him adjust. It was the responsible thing to do. On the other hand, his day had been above and beyond shitty. He took two deep swallows of the drink, and realized that his alcohol tolerance only counted for so much on little sleep and an empty stomach. He finished the glass anyway, and left it on the table.
"That you're the world's unluckiest bastard,"
Nigel chuckled.
"You get to see everything this shitty planet has to offer and all the people in it, whether you want to or not."
He tossed back his own match and leaned back on the sofa to let the warmth of the well-aged scotch fill his middle. It was a good feeling, especially when his company was an alcohol-flushed Will. It was a far more accurate description than Will had been expecting. Nigel's admittance to his gift being a negative thing, both an insult and a refreshing change. Though given his own honest admittance of the man in front of him, he really didn't have much room to talk on rude descriptions. "You don't sound impressed with my empathy."
"I wouldn't wish that curse on anyone, darling.
Who wants to see everyone else's dirty laundry?
It didn't take a genius to realize that no one wanted their darkest secrets read. He could only imagine the trouble Will had to suffer finding a date. No one wanted their partner to know that they were faking an orgasm, and generally people wanted their bedmate to meet them in the eye. His William was lacking more than a little in the latter. Pair that with his socially awkward tendencies, and Nigel could easily see Will going a handful of years between lays. You'd be the first. His grin was humorless.
I really shouldn't be.
Strong fingers curled beneath his chin, tilting Will's head to force the skittish blue-gray eyes to meet the man across from him. There was a hungry look within those sanguine depths, a deep swirling want that Will was anything but used to seeing directed at him.
You suffer from it, visually, and people take advantage of you for it. They pushed you until you're broken, and then the bastards push more.
The space between them was closing, the bad man shifting across the smooth leather with a hiss of sliding denim.
Thoughtless cunts take advantage of you, darling.
They were a breath apart, thin lips ghosting over his own, and Will couldn't tear his eyes away from that wanting pair that bore into him.
What's worse is that you let them.
The kiss was nothing like Will had expected. The firm press of lips like a fiery passion against his as broad hands circled his waist to pull him against a surprisingly hard body. Will gasped into the kiss as he was lifted to straddle legs, spreading his wide around Nigel's firm thighs as a hand slipped from waist to ass, cupping him with groping fingers. It had Will feeling like a teenager again. All alcohol and poor decisions as he opened his mouth to let the bad man delve inside, tasting of expensive booze and cheap cigarettes as Will ground down against him. Nigel's groan rumbled through him, and he felt his cock twitch. It felt good to be wanted, to feel the side of hands underneath his shirt to ghost up his back and shoulders, as well as the push of a swelling cock pressed against him with grinding hips. Will couldn't even remember the last time he'd had sex. If he were being completely honest, it had been more than a couple of years, and he really didn't want to remember the awkward morning after that had followed. He'd never seen her again, and it had been the deciding factor that led him to believe that Will Graham simply wasn't meant to date. At some point, Will's belt had been loosened. He knew he hadn't done it, since his fingers were busy trying to decipher Nigel's shampoo through touch. But his belt was gone, and the bad man was holding his ass with a firm grip, only barely separated by the thinnest layer of cotton. Will felt fingers run the cleft of his ass, and it had him pulling back. Memories of thin lips identical to Nigel's pressing in a gentle kiss against his mouth, had guilt swelling up inside, and Will pushed the bad man back. Sorry, no. He hated himself for doing it. Nigel didn't seem offended.
You've never taken cock before?
Or deterred. His hand remained firmly cupping Will's ass, face but a breath away.
You're not straight.
Nigel's eyes drew down to settle on the stiffening cock pressing into his stomach. I'm questioning. Will corrected, with what he felt to be the closest term to accurate for his sexuality at the moment. He wasn't really sure where he stood in that spectrum anymore. More than a little attracted to women and what they had to offer, Alana was proof enough of that. He'd always thought himself straight, until Hannibal kissed him. Until Alana introduced them.
That's not questioning, darling. That's an erection. And there's nothing effeminate about me to be causing it.
Nigel drew Will a little further up, letting the bulge of his own swollen cock press against the profiler's ass. Will had to admit it was more than a little impressive.
Are you feeling nervous?
The hand beneath his shirt ghosted along his spine, making Will arch into him, press harder against the cock beneath him to make Nigel groan.
I promise to be gentle.
The idea of being Will's first male encounter had Nigel eager enough to push him over and take him on the couch. Will was about to ruin everything, and he didn't want to. He liked this. He liked this strange man with the familiar face and the sense of being wanted. I've kissed your brother, Will admitted, ducking his head. He didn't want to see whatever look of disgust Nigel would be wearing for that offered bit of truth.
Is that what this is about?
Will found himself surprised when a mouth sought out his again, in stolen kisses instead.
You've been sleeping with my brother, and now you're feeling that you've cheated.
He met the next quick kiss and found himself focusing on the cocky smile when he was done. They could have been dating, and Nigel didn't care. He just wanted Will. We're not seeing each other. Will clarified. He only kissed me once, just before I got on the plane. That doesn't bother you? Kissed him before he got on the plane. His brother really was a manipulative dick. Not at all, Gorgeous. The way I see it, it's only a kiss. Nothing to feel guilty about. You're not dating, you're not fucking, you're not cheating. You don't care? Will would never claim to be well-versed on the ins and outs of relationships, but he was sure there was something not okay about kissing one twin and then fucking the other.
That's what I said, and Tanny shouldn't either. You're not dating? He has no right to be jealous.
Nigel coaxed Will's drunken mind with that silver tongue that would have been better suited for lawyers or used car salesmen.
If he really wanted you, darling, he should have been doing something about it long before you were sent packing to Bucharest. That's just him being a selfish prick. Planting termites in your brain to eat away at your consciousness and keep you all for himself.
Nigel caught his lip, sucking it into his mouth to nip with teeth as truth settled into the profiler.
You'll spend your whole trip here with thoughts of him and an unexplained kiss filtering through your mind until you get back to America. And he's all you can think of, all you want.
He captured Will's mouth with his own, easing him back against the couch as they indulged in slow, thoughtful kisses. The profiler's mind moving a mile a minute, as Nigel's focused on their state of dress. You think he's manipulating me? Will's brow furrowed. He really was too tired for this. Too damn drunk to be thinking about the ins and outs of psychology when he had a very willing, very attractive man pushing the two-day flannel shirt from his shoulders to map the planes of his chest with his mouth.
I grew up with the bastard. I know he's manipulating you.
He caught a nipple and felt Will's breath hitch as he arched into him.
You're manipulating me.
Will gasped, fingers tangling through silver-streaked blonde as he felt the sensitive skin nipped and sucked. Nigel hummed his response, moving farther down the lithe, cream-skinned body of the man who'd been haunting his thoughts for nearly a year.
Is it manipulation if you know I'm doing it?
Will wanted more scotch. He didn't want to feel guilty about this. He wanted to feel good and enjoy a fuck for once in his life.
Yes, he answered because his mind refused to shut off. Then I guess I'm as bad as Annie.
Nigel licked his lips, meeting eyes with Will as he tasted him on his tongue.
I'm just more forward about it.
His button popped with the flick of a thumb and the fly of Will's khakis slid free, hand slipping beneath the hem of his pants to drag coarse material down hips and legs, in the best strip show Nigel had seen to date. This was William, his William, and the flesh of his body lay willing beneath his hands. The same hands that followed the path of skin made bare trailed the curve of a calf and thigh, to dip into the contour of his hip, settling fingers and thumbs on the elastic of Will's briefs. Will wished he'd thought to shower and change before he'd left.
I want to fuck you, darling. Is that all right?
Nigel leaned in to kiss the jumping flesh of Will's lower belly, lick from the line of elastic to the dip of his navel, and capture the salty taste of skin on his tongue.
I want to feel you all around me when I bring you to your peak, and fill you until you burst.
Sanguine met blue, and Will had never felt more wanted in his life.
Can I have that, darling? Can I have you?
I've been on a plane for 2 days, and I haven't had a chance to shower or change, Will admitted. It wasn't romantic, but he never was. Nigel ducked his head to catch the flesh of Will's thigh in a biting kiss. Blood-stained earth locked with the storm-cast blue as he made sure that Will watched him suck a mark into his flesh with nipping teeth and carnal desire.
Is that a yes?
Do you have a condom? Nigel's look alone could have made Will come.
Chapter 6 Starry Sky.
It was as though he had stepped into his dear William's mind to sample his special blend of madness. Witnessing the art of chaos firsthand, that was slowly destroying his brilliant mind to build a chrysalis for Hannibal to whisper dark words into. The killer had skinned her, cutting the flesh around to ankles, hands, and throat, with long-drawn lines sliced down her calves and spine in an attempt to peel the hide away in a single sheet. With his keen eye, he could see where the killer had faltered, the extra incisions that would have been needed to make their attempt successful. Instead, they'd been forced to stop in their peeling to make additional strokes with the knife's sharp edge to peel the flesh away. Hannibal could tell, just by looking at the bared bone and muscle that remained, that the skin suit had torn. Their killer would be displeased that such efforts had been for nothing, their prize ruined by the unsightly tears. They would be trying again.
Is it the Ripper?
Jack asked, and Hannibal almost wanted to laugh. Though the woman had been left on display, it was hardly anything as artistic as what Hannibal would have created. She had been hung for convenience's sake, and left for the same reason, nothing more. What he created was art. No, the victim still retains all of her internal organs. The Ripper is better known for their medical knowledge and trophies. This woman was taken apart without that knowledge, and left whole otherwise. Many of the incisions were too crude, in his opinion. The wrong tool for the job. This is a first. They were only learning, still working on perfecting the methods of their design, searching for the best way to remove flesh whole while keeping the pig alive, the skin fresh. But it will not be their last. They are trying to create a flesh suit. He pointed with a latex glove, following an incision to have passed over their spine. With as few cuts to the hide as possible. They want the flesh flawless, whole. Jack followed his line of sight to the incision directed.
You think the killer's trying to make a suit? You think they're going to wear this girl?
He tried to clarify, not wanting the truth to be as gruesome as he knew it was. Hannibal nodded. Yes, I believe our killer is trying to make something to wear. I also believe that due to the incisions here and here, they discovered that they had not taken into full consideration the difficulty in peeling the skin from another human being. It was far easier to harvest the organs, though he had followed a similar procedure once before in the past. His had been successful. They would have torn the skin. Hannibal indicated another slice. Making this particular suit unflattering to them, they will discard this as a failure, and try again. Jack seemed more than a little disturbed. Hannibal was finding it all rather interesting. Their killer thought themselves a transsexual, and was trying to create the body that they thought they deserved. Chances were that the individual had already sought therapy, possibly been denied their sex change, or lacking the funds to do so, ultimately forcing their hand. He wondered if Will would have seen the same. Would it be all right if I sent a few photos to Will? Discussed a theory for a second opinion. Hannibal slipped the latex from his gloves, folding one inside the other to drop into a bin.
Be my guest.
Jack had been debating sending Will a copy of the case and photos anyway. Having the doctor do it only made Jack look better for not having been the one to bother Will.
Will's become a bit of an old hand at this. He might just be able to pick up a few things to add to your profile.
The only profile I can offer you at this time is that our killer is a transsexual. He is a she, and she will be needing her victim, the same size as the one before us. She needs her clothes to fit. Slipping his phone from his pocket, Hannibal took his time gathering a number of pictures to closer examine at his leisure later on, as well as to send to Will. It was an excellent excuse to call his missing profiler. Will lifted his hips, feeling the slide of cotton over his ass as the last of his clothing was stripped away, broad hands gliding over bare flesh in the wake of the thin cloth. He was already hard enough to have his cock bobbing to stand as the waistband slid free, the length of hardened flesh standing to Nigel's attention to be appraised by the bad man's lascivious stare.
Even better than I imagined.
He kissed Will's tip, drawing a gasp from the profiler as he watched his tongue touch the slit. Will could feel his cheeks burning as he played witness to the lustful sanguine eyes drinking in his reveal, the last of his clothing slipping down legs and over ankles to fall to the floor. You imagined me. Will was already feeling breathless. Nigel was a drug of his own making, and Will was becoming an addict.
With a face like that, how couldn't I?
He drew back up to capture lips instead, hands snaking behind him to press that beautiful lean body against his own. Will swallowed. It was thick and dry, and he really was too drunk to be doing this with anyone. Yeah, fuck conventionality. Should we take this to bed? He looked past Nigel, over a broad shoulder to the loft that would be far more comfortable than the leather couch that he could already feel his flesh sticking to. He would be peeling himself from it later if they didn't move. Nigel looked over his shoulder to the spiral stairs, his hand sliding down the curve of Will's spine to stroke soft skin, and feel muscles jump beneath his fingertips. A devious smile pulling the corner of his mouth as he rose from his darling.
Sure.
He got up, tugging Will to his feet along with him.
More room to play.
The grin was enough to make Will's cock jump, the thick flesh pressing back against his stomach as something deep in his gut twisted, with a hand that touched his back, guiding him up the stairs. They barely made it halfway.
"Nigel!"
he squeaked in indignant surprise as the arm like steel caught him around the waist, and he was bent over the rail. A thigh pushed between Will's own, keeping him spread as the bad man leaned over him.
"You're just too damn tempting. Did you know that?"
Nigel was gifted with another choked sound of surprise when he touched a spit-slicked finger to Will's entrance and pushed all the way to the knuckle. It only took a moment to find that little bundle of nerves deep inside that made Will jerk and moan as Nigel stroked against it.
"Too damn tempting."
Feeling fingers dig into his bicep as Will clung to the arm wrapped around him, as though Nigel might actually let him fall. Another digit joined in the first, pressing deep inside to stroke his prostate, until gasps turned to whimpered moans, and whimpers to begging screams, Will's cock weeping with need.
"Nigel!"
he cried his name again, a plea and a prayer. It fed that live wire that ran through Nigel's veins with a fire better than that chaos of blood and broken teeth. He pressed again, and felt the whimper of quivering need through his profiler, breath hitching and body shaking with the threat of finding his end before Nigel had a chance to give him a proper fuck. Withdrawing, he urged Will further up the stairs, forcing him forward until legs made weak with pleasure and alcohol reached the top of the stairs, bumping into the foot of the bed for Will to fall onto hands and knees, crawling across the plush surface to give Nigel a view of the beautiful ass he was about to be mounting.
"Fucking gorgeous."
Will didn't make it far before Nigel was on top of him, close forgotten by the bed as he crawled up after him to catch the quivering profiler by his hips and press the swell of his cock hard against the ass that he could hardly wait to fill.
"That was dangerous,"
Will scolded with stuttering breaths as Nigel emptied a bottle of lube into his palm and quickly slicked fingers, hips grinding the heavy flesh of his cock to slide against Will's opening in a tease that had the bad man hissing.
"You weren't going anywhere."
Nigel chuckled. He'd finally got his hands on him. He wasn't about to lose Will by dropping him over the railing. He touched a finger to the tight ring of muscles at his opening, circling a finger around the entrance to drag more sweet whimpers to his ears, before pressing the finger to his core. Two more joined the first until Will was reeling, wanton cries of wanting like music to the bad man's ears, as he stretched and stroked the beautiful profiler beneath him. Kiss, Will and lips parted, and his name was turned into a lewd curse for his darling to scream. A need for lube was all that had saved Will from being fucked good and proper over the railing, at least for their first time together. There would be other days for his profiler to be slicked with spit and oil and whatever else he could find around the house. But for the first time, he wanted to make sure the pleasure would be immeasurable and the pain non-existent. Will was finding it hard to focus with three becoming four inside him, in a near-constant onslaught on his prostate, his arms quaking with the effort to keep himself upright against the building pleasure making him ache. He pushed back against the hand that felt him, felt the slide of the other over his back as Nigel climbed over him to cage his slightly smaller body with his own.
"I think that's enough of that, don't you, darling?"
Lust-blown eyes peered over a quaking shoulder to meet carnal red. It was everything Nigel had wanted. The pure attention of those gray eyes made ocean blue with lust focused on him in entirety.
"You're just too goddamn gorgeous, you know that?"
Nigel kissed Will's shoulder, pushing Will onto his back so he could watch that pretty face contort with pleasure when he pushed inside. He'd hate to waste the view for convenience sake.
"Nigel!"
he arched, cocked so hard it hurt as he reached for the bad man, wanting desperately for him to fix that ache. Nigel wouldn't leave him disappointed. Catching him by the hips, he dragged Will down the bed, watching storm-colored eyes dance with lightning strikes of lust as he lifted his legs to settle over his shoulders and spread, pushing them back to touch the swollen head of his cock to the sodden hole.
"Are you ready, darling?"
The kiss he gave was as hungry as a smile, and met with nipping teeth for making the profiler wait. He wouldn't wait anymore. Nigel pushed into his tight opening with one slow, smooth thrust. Deep maroon eyes locked on stormy blue as he made Will take in every inch into his body. A pinch to his thigh drawing eyes back to his own when the elusive gems tried to turn away. Will wouldn't be hiding from him, not in this. Nigel would hold him by the throat and make him look if that's what it took to keep those scarce orbs of blue trained on his. Nigel wanted to watch the tides of pleasure wash over Will like an ocean, and witness the lightning strike of orgasm crash through him, when he brought Will to his edge and pushed him over.
Keep your eyes on me, Gorgeous. I want to see you.
It seemed as though the command for Will's full attention was a more difficult request for the profiler than dropping his drawers for a fuck. His sight was already dancing, turning from Nigel's to his lips and throat before directed back to his eyes with a sudden jerk of the heavy flesh seated within. I'm not very good with eyes. Will admitted, breathless, to feel another jerk against the bundle of nerves hidden inside, forcing his eyes open to meet the bad man's on top.
I want you to be good with my eyes. Do you think you can do that for me?
He let one leg slide from his shoulders to settle instead on his waist, a hand calloused from work Will didn't want to know about, coming to gently smooth the curls from his face, fingers carting through hair the color of chocolate. Will didn't answer, instead fighting to keep his sight on Nigel, as he squirmed beneath him to urge the bad man on. Nigel took the hint.
Thank you, darling.
Kissing lips made soft and pliant with too much booze on an empty stomach and unsated lust, he pulled his cock to the tip and thrust in to fill him. The moan that forced past his parted lips was almost enough to make him come, deep and wanting and all for him. Nigel watched with insatiable greed as the storm raged on in those blue-gray skies, their color lost to barely more than a ring around pupils blown wide with lust and pleasure, as another cry was forced from his lips, and his body arched against Nigel's own. Hooking his leg around his tapered waist, Will wrapped his arms around his chest, and buried his face in the crook of Nigel's neck, gasping against the skin in open-mouthed kisses and moans with closed eyes against the onslaught. They opened quick enough with a tug of curls and a harsher thrust, Nigel smiling down at him as though Will were the missing wonder of the world, breath hitching and face flushed with each deep thrust of hips bearing his thick, heavy cock within him. Deep, slow motions rocked their bodies as one, Nigel filling Will to his core to make his breath shudder and body twist as he hit home on that bundle of nerves buried inside again and again.
I want to keep you, darling. Hold you against me and feel you wrapped around me over and over again.
Every day and every night, if he could have him, Nigel would have him. Pressing his mouth to kiss swollen, gasping lips, he drank in the wanton moans as they parted, tasting Will's debauchery like the slide of wine across his tongue.
I want to do this again with you, darling.
Nigel stilled, pressing against Will's prostate to make him arch, mouth wide and body quivering as Nigel leaned in to kiss the corner of Will's mouth again, against the silent cry of pleasure.
Say that you will.
Will was shaking, so close he could barely contain himself, fighting to hold back his end so that Nigel might find his own in closer time. But he knew what he was doing, and Will wasn't sure he could keep himself much longer.
Nigel!
He cried, arching with another press that made his body jerk, breath shuddering as his sight danced over the broad shoulders to focus on the ceiling above, rough fingers gripping his curls at the root, tugging his sight back to focus on Nigel, keeping his eyes trained on maroon, almost the color of blood in the faded light of the bedroom.
You're so close,
he murmured against whimpering lips. Will's mind and body overloaded with sensation, as he was made to see the pleasure taken from him, while feeling the pleasure given through the bad man's eyes. He was unable to contain himself with so much sensation, arching and gasping against the solid form above.
Come for me, darling,
Nigel commanded with gentle words, kissed with a softness that went against his naturally violent nature and need for blood. He felt like he was on fire, his blood a living thing pumping through his veins as he pushed himself into Will again and again. He arched, a silent cry parting his lips as he curled his body around him, forehead pressed to Nigel's, so that all Will could see was that greedy rant as his climax took him. All he could see was Nigel, inside and out. Nigel bit his lip against the strangling grip around his cock and pumped two more times before shuddering with his own end, filling Will with his heat in a flood of possession to his core. Will bucked against him, vibrating with his lingering pleasure as Nigel pumped his hips with the end of his orgasm.
So fucking good,
he panted, letting Will's other leg fall from his shoulder to wrap lazy around his waist, as he pulled Will into his lap, making the profiler straddle his softening cock. Will knew he was almost a dead weight in the bad man's arms, letting Nigel guide his movement to wrap lazy arms around his shoulders, his head lolling back for thin lips to suck kisses into his neck and chest. It felt good to feel biting kisses leaving a chain of purple and blue around his throat. Will knew he should make him stop, that he would ultimately regret his poor decision in the morning. But all he wanted in that moment was to keep feeling good, and just let himself have this little piece of something nice for a little while longer.
"You're possessive," Will murmured into silver-streaked hair, watching the upper-level window over a muscular shoulder.
"I asked you to wear a condom. You didn't. You're marking me inside and out." He was profiling without even trying, his brain refusing to turn off, his drunken mind moving lips to spill secrets better left unsaid if he ever wanted to do this again.
"That marks you as a possessive and dangerous individual to be indulging in any sort of relationship with."
Broad hands ghosted from shoulders to hip, lifting Will just enough to let his cock slide free, a run of cum and lube trickling from his entrance with it.
"Is that so bad?"
Nadja looked at the beautiful chain of amethyst he was leaving around Will's throat like a collar. He liked it almost as much as he would have liked seeing his name scrawled out in loops of red and black ink.
"I'll be as loyal to you as I ask you to be for me."
He kissed a bruising mark.
"Nothing wrong with that."
He looked at Will to see that those beautiful eyes were once again avoiding his own, the fire gone from them to be replaced with a tired and hazy delight. Will was fucked out and content for the moment. Not as angry as maybe he should have been with Nigel for forgetting to wear a condom, if forgetting entailed shoving them out of the way to grab the loop conveniently underneath. "It's a problem because I'm not going to stay, and I'm bad with relationships," Will answered back, brow furrowing as he watched something swing a little over the window in the wind.
"Then how about we don't make it a relationship?"
Nigel offered, looking over his shoulder to follow his sight to the shadow outside.
"Casual sex is allowed among friends."
He turned back, capturing lips with a kiss.
"How about we be friends? Drinking buddies who fuck on the side? Is that something you can handle while you're in town?"
Will didn't have any reason not to. The sex had been good. Hell, it had been fucking incredible. He wanted to do it again.
"Drinking buddies who fuck on the side. Is that something you can handle while in town?"
Will didn't have any reason not to. The sex had been good. Hell, it had been fucking incredible. He hadn't been laid in so long, it might have been the act of getting off with another human being alone that had him feeling so good. He wanted to do it again. "You'd have no claim on me," Will warned, pulling back to prevent another mark from purpling his skin. "You wouldn't be allowed to mark me as your own." A flash of something dangerous passed within those maroon depths. It was bloody and deadly, and made of the nitro that Will was trying not to shake. "I'll only come back if this stays open. No marks, no claims, casual." It was Nigel's offer, but he didn't like the rules being so specifically set against him. It was easier for him to keep Will to himself if he had the right colors showing over his collar. Marked territory was usually only pursued if it was a hooker at reduced rates. It would be harder to keep Will to himself if he wasn't allowed to bite.
"Sure,"
Nigel grinned, all teeth and our promises making Will shiver.
"No more marks."
He kissed the last bruise that he would be leaving for a while, and looked for eyes that still refused to meet his own. He would have them again. Though Will refused to meet his eyes just yet, he would have those elusive gems focused on his own soon enough. Even if only when Will was screaming his pleasure to the sky.
"So," the predator and Nigel purred, stealing more kisses from pliant lips. "Can I expect to see you tomorrow?"
His eyes promised more of the same if he did. The hand squeezing the globe of Will's ass made sure his intentions were not misinterpreted. Will felt more semen slip free to run over the bad man's fingers as the digits flexed against his flesh. He'd be lying if he said he didn't want more. He just wanted it with someone else. "We'll see how I'm feeling. I'm here to work. That doesn't mean I'm going to be having a whole lot of free time on my hands in between." Another slide of shadow over glass, and Will's eyes were back on the window.
It doesn't take a lot of time if you're spending the night.
Nigel grinned, nipping Wolf's attention back to him.
But I'll leave you to come to me if that's what you're looking for.
He had enough guys under his thumb to keep his eye from a distance, even a couple of cops. What is that? Will pointed to the shadow. Needed a distraction to let his emotions settle and new interests find a place within. Nigel glanced back at the window, letting Will slip free from his lap to pull on, but not button, the jeans that he'd discarded earlier.
It's a rope,
Nigel answered, keeping his head ducking low so as not to bump the ceiling, as he walked the short distance to the window and slid the glass across, catching a length of thick braided climbing rope to show the curious profiler. Will furrowed his brow, pulling Nigel's boiler shirt over his head to cover part of his nudity as he followed. It hung low enough on the slightly smaller male to cover all the good parts, just barely. And it made Nigel's cock twitch to see him dressed as casually in one of his tees. Why do you have a rope? Will leaned out the window, looking up to see the braided length stretched to the flat rooftop.
Would you like to see?
He did it so smoothly, Will wondered if it was a nightly activity. Nigel gripping the rope in one hand to step out the window in bare feet, and drag himself over the side in 3 easy steps. Leaning out the window again, he looked up at Nigel, who lay on his belly with a hand down for Will to follow suit, as the rope settled back within reach.
Grab hold, darling. I'll help you up.
Looking at the rope and doubting his strength, Will eased himself from the window. Gripping the braid with one hand and the frame with the other, he eased himself to stand.
Probably shouldn't be doing this drunk,
he complained, more to himself as he gripped the rope tighter and reached up to catch the offered hand. Will found himself lifted with surprising ease, a display of strength showing Nigel to be much stronger than he looked. Catching the twin by his shoulder and toes on the window frame, Will helped ease himself over the ledge. The rope had been secured around a mooring ring, Nigel having obviously added the anchored brick rooftop himself. Without an emergency door leading up to the building's top, it left Nigel as the sole occupant with access to the flat surface he'd claimed as his own.
What made you decide to conquer the roof?
Will asked. He was glad for it, though. Bucharest was hot, and the cool wind skimming over his sex-heated flesh was a welcomed thing.
20/20 hindsight, he wished he'd stolen a pair of Nigel's pants instead of climbing out the window in a shirt and his birthday suit.
It gets hot, and my windows aren't the best crafted for air conditioners.
Nigel walked to the center, where a large waterproofed chest sat waiting, and crouched to play with the dials of its combination lock, popping the lid to retrieve a collection of thick comforters and a roll-out mat.
I like to sleep up here when the weather's hot. Good breeze, and the view's amazing.
Though his eyes were more occupied with Will than the twinkle of city lights. Will stood with his back to Nigel, having turned to examine the view that he'd spoken of, without realizing that he was a part of it. Will stood at the edge to stare out over a city, as alive in the night as it had been during the day. The bustle of tourists and young people looking for bars and a good time milled the streets to search out nighttime cafes, pubs, and clubs. Will found himself enjoying it right along with them, watching people wander the streets from the safe, secluded distance he held from up top, able to see and feel without all the overwhelming interaction and close proximity. Silhouetted in the sickly yellow glow of artificial light, and dressed in the discarded dachshund shirt, Will couldn't have been more beautiful if he'd tried. A cool wind, laced with car exhaust in the chilled night air, blew to catch haphazard curls in a halo of unruly frizz around the profiler's head. The ringlets rustling over skin still pink from sex and drying sweat, as the hem of his shirt lifted to reveal the barest glimpse of a pale round ass, leaving trails of semen to cool tacky on his thighs. A smoldering heat bloomed within Nigel's chest, the hot coals turning to lick flames and a raging fire, hot and consuming as the obsessive love he felt towards the man before him. It was in this moment that Nigel knew Will would never see his home in Wolf Trap again. It made him want to take him again right there on the roof, bend him over and fuck him where all of Bucharest could hear his darling scream Nigel's name into the night. Nigel licked his lips, wetting the chapped skin as he watched the wind lick the sweat-slicked skin and cooling cum on his inner legs. Watching it lift the tail of his shirt to show that curve of ass he'd already mounted that night. His cock stirred again, the heavy flesh beginning to swell. It was beautiful. The city lights bright and alive, mixed through the darkened towers of ancient buildings and towering cathedrals. Will could easily see how Nigel had fallen in love with a chaotic city like Bucharest from the sanctuary of his rooftop. The smell of smoke on the wind and a hand on his waist reminded Will that he wasn't alone. The profiler leaning back into the hard body behind him to let the Batman take his weight. The pair looking out to watch the night sky together. "I like this," Will muttered, more to himself. It was surrounding and isolating, all at the same time. A private getaway for him and the Batman, as close to the privacy of Wolf Trap as he was going to find in the city. No one could get him but Nigel, and in that moment, being caught wasn't such a bad thing.
"Yeah, me too."
Nigel kissed the crook of Will's neck, and felt the sweep of an arm reach behind to drape off his shoulder, and cart through his hair as his hand drifted lower, slipping beneath the hem of his stolen shirt to tease Will's flaccid cock awake in the night air. Hushed gasps and the gentle roll of hips into his hand urged Nigel on as he lifted the smoke he'd retrieved from the same waterproofed container as the bedroll, with his free hand, to take one last draw before tossing it over the edge. He could always have another later, and that moment getting his hands on Will for the second time was worlds away from his need for nicotine. Kissing a cloud of smoke into skin blemished with amethyst marks, Nigel freed his stiffening cock to tease it back erect, one hand working on his own as the other dragged gasping moans from the man holding his arm to keep himself upright. "Nigel," Will sighed his name, head lolling back to rest on the Batman's shoulder, as pulses of pleasure traveled like an electric shock from the base of his spine, a pooling of liquid heat building like a volcano waiting to erupt with the coming of his second arousal. Breaths shaky and legs too weak to hold himself any longer, Will found his body sinking to the ground, the harsh brick of the roof digging into the flesh of his knees as he settled with his palms on the roof's edge, their rough surface digging into his palms as he looked out into the night.
"I especially like you, Will."
Another smoky kiss pressed into his skin, the heavy flesh of Nigel's cock pressing back into his darling with ease. He slipped into the squeezing passage with a gentle thrust, making the profiler gasp with too much, too soon, as the swan head hit home, sliding against Will's prostate to make his body shudder at the Batman's touch. Trapped in a cage of flesh and blood in the form of Nigel's body around his own, they moved as one, the twin dragging long ragged cries of pleasure from his darling to echo out into the night air with each languid fuck. Gasping his pleasure into the starry night sky on hands and knees, Will never even heard his phone ringing from the pocket on his jeans by the couch. Chapter 7. Morning After. When Will awoke, it was to a world outlined in nausea and pain. His head throbbed even before opening his eyes to the harsh light of an overcast sky. One breath, another. Slow, steady. And he was rolling onto his raw and aching knees, stomach clenched as he heaved, retching over the concrete roof. His throat burned, eyes watering as another heave quaked his body and a firm hand found his back, sliding dry and cool over heated flesh. Will had forgotten he wasn't alone. The sickness racking his body, making the profiler momentarily forget the man who lay behind him. Memories of his shared night together came drifting back to the forefront, through waves of pain and nausea as his head throbbed. Will worked on swallowing one deep breath of air after another, and stopped the spasmodic clenching of his stomach. How much did he drink?
"Feeling a little rough this morning, darling."
The words came lazy, accent heavier in the early morning to curl each word. It was as though the foreign man was working to remember which language he needed to speak to the naked profiler with. Stomach settling, if only for the moment, Will sat back, hissing as another pain moved through him, one associated with sore muscles unused to strange positions and being stretched. The cold feeling of sticky semen left to cool on blankets and thighs, telling the story of their second orgasm on the roof's edge and the lack of cleanup to follow. Nigel had pushed into him, filling him to the core as he rocked with Will on hands and knees, forcing him to cry out in pleasures into the late Bucharest sky. It was why his knees were raw, palms sore from gripping the roof slip as he took Nigel's cock again and again. He felt one of those familiar arms circle around him, holding him tight as they had the night before, keeping his quaking body still against one made solid with hardened muscle. I'm fine. It was only a partial lie. I've had worse. He felt that strong arm drag him back to settle once more against the body that had held him so near throughout the night, despite his night sweats.
Yeah.
Thin lips fell upon his throat, capturing the flesh by his ear to suck and nip as the deep rumble of a chuckle moved through him.
Me too.
The bad man pressed a bottle of water into his hand, and Will didn't hesitate in twisting its top and downing half of it in a few quick swallows. He needed to hydrate, and despite his stomach, that meant water.
Doesn't mean you don't feel like shit.
A broad, calloused hand found its way between Will's thighs, tracing circles in the sensitive skin that made his flesh tingle and had his muscles jumping in his stomach. I'm hungover and sore, Will admitted, leaning back, letting himself relax into the warmth that encompassed him.
That's so.
A soft pack of cigarettes snuck around him, to tip by his ear for the bad man to capture a filter between his lips.
Then maybe we should head back inside, soothe some of those sores in a bath.
A lighter flicked to light the tip into a glowing cherry. A long pull sounding as the bad man took in a lungful of nicotine into him. Nigel held it for a long moment, his first drag of the day, to let the nicotine burn into his lungs before letting it all curl free, away from the profiler held safe in his arms. Will rubbed his eyes, taking another long drink from the bottle as Nigel held him, the pair staring out into the city. I don't think I have time for that. He looked to the sky. It was light, but how late in the morning was next to impossible to tell. A thick layer of clouds having rolled in overnight to blanket the sun. I have to be at the station by 9. Will hoped it wasn't too late. Would love to panic about it if he didn't feel as though he was being pulled from the grave.
9.
A smile, another kiss pressing hot against his skin.
I'll give you a ride to the station.
Will nodded. Despite his fear of Nigel's driving and value of life, he didn't know the way there, and didn't have his wallet. Didn't have much of anything with him, but the clothes on the back that he'd arrived with. Thanks. He hoped they would make it to the station alive. Despite the pain still moving through his lower body, with the ache of past pleasures, and the slip of tacky slick and semen on his thighs, Will tugged himself free of Nigel's arms to look for the shirt that he had lost during the night, and briefly wondered if he could convince the bad man to pass a set of clothes up to him on the roof. It didn't happen. Nigel held the inexperienced profiler as he climbed back over the building's edge and back through the window. It wasn't his proudest moment. Late 30s and climbing through a bedroom window, mooning the neighbors. "You want to tell me how often you charm people into having sex by showing them the roof?" Will asked, feeling a little better with his feet on solid ground, and four walls defending his nudity from the open world.
"Not as often as you'd think."
Nigel grinned, sliding through the window with practiced ease to fall back onto the dirty sheets and stretch. It was nearly impossible to stretch standing up in his loft, the roof too low unless he craned sideways to make room for his head.
"Only 2,
he admitted, grabbing more clothes than was needed for himself, before leading the way down the spiral stairs. Will found he wasn't as sore as he expected to be. A dull ache, more than a hurt, moving through him for the new activities he'd indulged in. It was as though he'd done a vigorous workout focusing on some less used muscles, and they were casting their opinion on the matter the morning after. It wasn't bad. The pleasure of the evening before more than outweighing his discomfort. Will held the railing to keep himself upright anyway, as he walked down the stairs. A mix of nausea and sore muscles reminding him to take it slow.
"Bathroom's over here, darling."
Nigel directed Will with a carnal smile of a lover.
"Why don't you clean up a little? Nice hot shower, work out some of those aches."
He was behind Will, bristle of morning growth rubbing over Will's shoulder and neck as lips ghosted kisses over skin.
"I'll see about throwing together some breakfast."
I don't think I have time for breakfast. Will didn't quite argue. He'd take coffee if it meant feeding it through an IV into his arm. The food he was pretty sure he could do without. "I don't even know what time it is." Not that it would have made much difference. He needed a shower whether it was 3 hours early or 50 minutes late. No difference would be made by looking at the clock other than the extra helping of anxiety to make him trip over himself and clean out his passage with fumbling fingers, instead of easy movements and enjoying hot steam. Will decided he'd be quick anyway, but he wasn't going to rush. It was already going to be a hell of a day. He didn't want to make it any worse than it was already planning to be.
Early enough for you to have a soak if you want.
Nigel rumbled into his ear. Hands touching beneath the cotton of his stolen shirt to feel the underfed body beneath, and follow the shallow dip of two prominent ribs. Will was clever, or so his brother told him. He had a keen mind, and that beautiful mind refused to let go of the death it sought at the end of the day. It led to too much drinking and not enough sleep. A natural appetite killer. Sorry, Nigel, but you seem like the kind of guy who would lose track of time to keep their company a little longer. Will met the mouth wandering over his skin with a kiss, and pushed hands away to investigate the only door other than the exit and storage in the large condo.
Only when the company is as gorgeous as you.
Nigel let the delicious man slip away, watching the move of his hips as he found and disappeared into the bathroom. He wanted to feel those hips in his hands again. Another smile pulled thin and wide, the bad man tapping a smoke from a soft pack of Camels to light up as the door closed, and the sound of rushing water could be heard. He grabbed Will's forgotten shirt from the floor to pull over his hand, a fair trade when the man was borrowing his own, and stepped out the door. There was a cafe 2 doors down from his condo, one of the buying points for him in the location. Nigel didn't cook. Unlike his brother, he didn't care for it beyond the basics, and that meant cafes and restaurants. This one in particular wasn't too bad. The brew, dark and rich. The food, mediocre. He bought 2 coffees and a couple of bagels to go, with the hopes that his Will was taking his time in the shower. To his relief, Will was still in the shower upon his return, no doubt trying to work out the mess Nigel had left inside. He hoped enough stayed buried inside to remind Will throughout the day what had taken place between them. Keep the memories of his pleasure to the forefront. Depositing coffee and bagels on the island for later consumption, Nigel turned his attention instead to the discarded jeans and half-visible cell phone blinking in their pocket.
"Someone missing you, darling,"
he murmured to himself, sipping on his own bitter coffee as he strode across the room to pick up the discarded pants and phone. He dropped the denim to the couch, while the phone he brought to life with a swipe of his thumb and a chuckle at the locked screen. A picture of 7 dogs brought to life. It made his theft of the dachshund shirt that much more endearing. Nigel didn't know the man well enough to be guessing passwords, but he didn't need to. The name he'd been curious to see blinking to life on the call screen. Dr. Lecter, highlighted at the top of the screen. Nigel dropped the phone back into Will's jean pocket and slid the pants back onto the floor where they belonged, just as the bathroom door fell open. His Will emerging with corkscrew ringlets springing damp around his head from a towel dry, and thick terry wrapped around his waist. "At least I know where my shirt is," Will announced, looking the bad man wearing his shirt up and down. He needed a shower himself, but there was something about seeing this man, dressed in yesterday's jeans and Will's traveling shirt, that made his cock stir. He hoped it had something to do with wanting to see the more refined Hannibal in casual denim and not a change in interest. The shirt clung to his broad chest better than it did to Will. Slightly too small across the shoulders, it wasn't leaving the profiler to guess what lay beneath. "I don't suppose you've seen my pants, too?" he asked, approaching. Nigel stooped long enough to pull up the denim, letting the cell phone fall from the pocket with the look of an accident, as it hit the plush carpet and bounced.
"Sorry about that, darling."
He grabbed the small glowing device, furrowing his brow as he handed it over.
"You expecting a call from my brother?"
He handed it back, gaining a look from his guest, who quickly punched in a code Nigel watched upside down, and scrolled to his log. "He was probably checking in on me," Will admitted, feeling his stomach flip with a swell of guilt he'd known he'd wake up to. "I don't have any family to speak of, and Jack doesn't care so long as I get the job done and get back in time to solve the next Ripper case."
"Checking in on you?"
he laughed. He didn't care about the boss, tapping out a second smoke of the morning to light up and take a draw, filling his lungs with the deep satisfaction of nicotine and burning smoke. It was a habit he had indulged in since he was a young teen, and had no intention of stopping until Charon came to offer him a ride.
"You sure that's all it was?"
"Are you insinuating that this call was meant to further his manipulation?" Will asked, disbelieving. And Brock worked as he took in the man smiling with breath of silver and blue. "Like you are doing now?" Nigel laughed. It was deep and rolling and nothing like the quiet chuckle Hannibal offered. This man was free with himself, unchecked and open with his whims, wills, and wants. It was refreshing not to have to interpret or guess for a change, to just know. To see it and see him and just know.
You know me so well already. Yes, darling, I'm working to take off that blinder that Hannibal has fastened around your eyes, to keep you staring straight ahead at nothing and no one but him. I'm letting you know there's a world of smoke and mirrors he's leading you through, and it's time for you to take a look and guess at what part of the magic show is bullshit and reality.
He took another steady drag from his cigarette.
I think you'd be surprised by how many mirrors are pointed your way.
It hadn't been what Will had expected. For Nigel to fall suddenly so still as he hinted at secrets Will knew nothing about, and fed poison into his mind. Or was it? He couldn't deny that the kiss had no explanation. Little explanation could be seen as something other than the simple invitation he had taken it to be. You make it sound as though I've been blindfolded and made to follow. Will didn't spit the words. He wasn't annoyed yet, just searching for clues. If there was a puzzle being presented, then he wanted to find all the pieces and solve it while he had the chance.
Not blindfolded.
Nigel laughed again, watching as Will stole his coffee to take a deep and scalding swallow. Apparently the man left his caffeine enough to forgo the ability to taste.
There wouldn't be any fun in that.
He grabbed the folded pile of clothes that he had brought down from his loft and handed them to Will. A pair of his own jeans and a shirt for the man in a rush to borrow.
The thing about Hanny is he gets bored. He would never leave everyone blinded. Not waiting and let them peek and guess and see how long it takes before someone gets it right.
What are you trying to tell me? We'll cut to the chase. This isn't about him dating me or you trying to stop it for a couple of nights of casual sex. He took the clothing being offered. They were too big for him by a couple of inches, but the belt that had been provided would do the trick until I could come back with something from his own suitcase. As it was, it looked as though he'd be coming back for another visit, if he wanted the return of his own clothes. Unless he wanted to make it a permanent trade.
This is me telling you that Hanny is just as possessive at owning as I am. He's just better at hiding it.
Nigel purred, watching as the man he'd decided to keep slipping on his jeans and shirt. They covered the beautiful trail of amethyst and onyx he'd come to love against Will's pale skin. It made him greedy to see the profiler marked as his own inside and out. Dressed in a layer of Nigel's own skin by way of denim and cotton.
You think you know him? I'm telling you, you don't.
Will laughed. It was sardonic and unimpressed as he took another sip of the stolen coffee. He's my psychiatrist, Nigel. I'm sure there's plenty about him I don't know. He pointed at him with his cup. You, for starters.
I've been his twin for 42 years and I don't know everything about him.
He shrugged.
People change. You never know someone as well as you think.
He watched as the gorgeous man slipped into his jeans, the slide of denim over the curve of his perfect ass.
All I'm saying, darling, is Hanny and I are two sides of the same goddamn coin.
He fastened Nigel's belt to pull the oversized denim tight against his skin. It gathered at the back, telling Nigel exactly how much broader he was than the slight man before him. I can't help but feel that you're jealous, Nigel. I just slept with you. Your brother calls. I miss it. And you're trying to walk me into a fire.
Not at all, darling.
A broad hand he had become more than familiar with over the course of the night sat at the small of his back to lead him to one of the bar stools. It felt too much like Hannibal's, the movement, the gesture. There were some traits that just carried between them.
I'm just being honest with you. No poker face from my hand. I'm laying all the cards on the table for you to see.
All the cards? He accepted a bagel, cinnamon with cream cheese. Will didn't like cream cheese, but everything tasted better with cinnamon. You're telling me you don't have a couple of aces slipped up your sleeve? He bit into the baked good and decided he'd have to rethink his opinion of cinnamon. Maybe not everything could be fixed with his spice of choice. But it went damn fine with apples and became the blessing from God himself when baked into pie. Nigel watched as Will ate a bagel he definitely wasn't interested in, and decided to let him suffer for having decided to argue with him that morning instead of kissing him.
Not yet, but it's never too late to slip an extra card from the back.
He drank from what was supposed to have been Will's coffee, since the profiler had pinched his own. But you think Hannibal's stacking it? while Claire find, knowing where Nigel was heading before the man could finish for him. A smile, wide and open like the cards he described, Nigel leaned back against the counter.
That's exactly what I'm saying, darling.
Does this go anywhere beyond me accepting that both of you are playing games with my head? He took another bite of bagel and wished he hadn't. Cream cheese was disgusting.
Nothing at all, darling. I just don't want you letting him guilt you into isolating yourself while in Bucharest. Not when you have very willing company hoping to see you again.
You just want some easy tail while I'm in town. Will accused, scraping the cream to death off on a napkin to eat the only slightly nasty bagel with his coffee.
If I wanted easy tail, I would have spent my night with one of the half-dozen hookers from the bar instead, and left my brother's patience to defend his own ass.
He said, smooth as molasses, as though he hadn't just told Will he would have left him to die if it was a simple case of sex.
I brought you home because I've heard a lot about you from my brother. I've been interested in meeting you for a long, long time.
There was nothing but truth to be seen in his dark eyes, a silent challenge for Will to call him a liar. But he couldn't. Not after the night they'd shared. Not while wearing the man's clothes, sitting clean and sated with coffee and a bagel. Nigel wanted him to come back. Wanted to make sure that he'd come back. He hadn't had someone determined to be in his life since Hannibal had forced his way in. If I apologize for insulting your integrity, will you stop telling me to hate your brother? Will was starting to second-guess the man he was interested in back home, and that wasn't what he wanted. What he wanted was a straight answer regarding the kiss, and an invite to dinner with ulterior motives.
Join me for dinner, and we'll brush everything under the rug.
Wrong brother for that wish to come true. Will silently wondered why it was that life continuously liked to fuck with him.
Chapter 8 Finders Keepers.
Will turned out to be late, even with Nigel's reckless driving taking him from his condo to the Sector 3 police department, with enough speed to have him questioning the laws of physics. Will walked into the office dressed in a pair of Nigel's old jeans, and a blue button-down hanging too loose from his smaller frame 15 minutes later. He had lucked out with their closeness and height, but it didn't count for much when the man's broader shoulders and built frame left the articles hanging off of Will's half-starved one. It had taken more than a little effort for Will to keep from vomiting during the drive over. One too many sharp turns and close calls for the profiler to stop his stomach from roiling. His luck ran out upon entering the office. He still wasn't sure how he managed to find the bathroom in time, but he'd made it to the restroom and into the stall by seconds. He felt like death. And as he stepped out of the bathroom to look at the sign pinned to the door reading Ladies' Room, he highly considered calling in on his first day. I could have been seen. He could have been worse, Will reminded himself begrudgingly, walking down the hall towards the office to his new boss. Will wasn't expecting this to go well. He hadn't had a chance to even open the file, never mind get a good once over before work. He was walking into this blind and praying to any deity that might listen he wasn't quizzed on possible profiles upon entering the office. If he was lucky, he would find Alex and have the man remind him of where he lived, on the down low, so that he could run back to his apartment, grab the file, and change into something fresh and his own the first free moment he got.
Good morning, Dummelgram.
Alex greeted him with a smile and a cup of steaming coffee.
Did you sleep well?
His play of smile turned mischievous as he took in Will's appearance. Will didn't have to take a guess at what Alex was saying. It was all over his face. I think you know that I didn't, Will countered, accepting the offering of caffeine. Thanks. My jet lag is still killing me, and I made the mistake of getting drunk before passing out. Not entirely untrue. He was leaving out the parts where he'd had his jacket stolen, witnessed a murder, and hadn't called the police, thanks to other distractions. We'll have to talk to him later, once he was done retrieving the file and getting the Chester sorted. Alex laughed at him. It was warm and almost mocking as he turned Will around to lead him back towards the entrance.
Where did you go last night?
What I do in my spare time does not affect my work. If you're implying that, he didn't get the chance to finish.
The hangover does not concern me, Will. I have worked through more than my own fair share of shifts, with my head pounding and a bucket between my knees.
He laughed again.
My concern is that you drank, slept, and forgot your temporary badge.
He informed him.
You need to go home and get it.
That wasn't good.
Will couldn't remember where the hell home was. Not unless he could get a cabbie to take him to Wolf Trap. Will couldn't even remember the name of the street that he was staying on. Not with all the signs posted in a language so different from his own. "Is there any chance of a ride?" he asked. "I forgot the file. It has my badge inside and my address. I don't know the streets well enough to find my way around on my own yet." This time when Alex laughed, it was with a slap to the back as he led Will towards his Volkswagen.
"Then you surely have the luck of the devil."
Alex opened the door to let the profiler climb inside.
"I have been assigned as your partner for this case,"
he explained, and Will tried to think of how he'd managed to get off with this one.
"You can tell Chester Morar you saw me in the hall and dragged me away to begin researching the case when you found out we were partners."
He gave him a look.
"A little enthusiasm towards your work will save you from the Chester's wrath."
"Thank you," Will said, and meant it, settling back into the car seat he was becoming accustomed to. He'd have to make a point of taking Alex out for a drink when all of this was over. He more than owed the agent watching his back while lost in Romania.
"Anytime,"
he answered, driving an only slightly familiar route back to Will's new accommodations. Will was paying more attention this time around from what he had the day before, sipping his coffee and looking for any landmarks he might be able to give a cabbie the next time he needed a ride. Which would only work if the cab driver happened to know English. This job was becoming tedious, with the language barrier holding him back. "Were you assigned to me for linguistics purposes?" he asked, surprised to see Nigel's car parked outside a laundromat as they drove. He hoped that meant the man was dropping off his clothes, as he hadn't seen a washer and dryer in the condo. Someone else that he'd need to say thank you to. Which brought another set of thoughts to the forefront. "I went for a walk last night," he began, feeling the warmth of the coffee seeping through the cheap paper cup to warm his hands. "I'm not sure what area I was in, what street. It was just up from my place, but I witnessed a murder." The car signaled, Alex pulling them to park on the curb without warning.
"You went for a walk and saw a murder. I thought you said you slept in."
He turned in his seat, giving the profiler his complete attention. "There's a longer story to it. I was hoping to grab my badge before making the report." But at the very least, he had to keep his partner in the loop. "But I did pass out when I got in, though. That wasn't a lie. Neither was my sleeping in. But I didn't make it back to my apartment after the walk." Alex was watching him with a look of disbelief, hardly able to believe his ears.
"Tell me everything, please."
"I went out looking for a kettle and some instant coffee. While exploring, I heard a noise. I looked down an alleyway and saw two guys with a gun and a silencer. I saw them, they saw me. They pursued me and I ran. I don't know where I was when it happened. I couldn't make out their faces in the dark. I just ran until I lost them."
"And were lost yourself?"
Alex filled in, cursing under his breath.
"What happened after that? Why did you not call the police?"
"By some miracle, I ran into my previously unmentioned twin. He took me back to his place. I drank when I should have called." He wasn't proud of himself, but he wasn't ashamed either. He hadn't been thinking straight between the jet lag, near-death experience, and meeting Hannibal's twin. Will's mind had been dancing between 1,000 places at once.
"You need to write this in a report," Alex declared. "You should have called this in, no matter what happened."
"That was beyond unprofessional and careless," he lectured, and it reminded Will of Alana. A tap at the window made the cop jump, looking past Will to another grinning outside. Will felt his stomach drop as he met eyes with Nigel through the pane of glass. This was not the time to be dealing with him. Turning back to Alex, the man looked drained. The color bleached from his face, the way that he looked at Nigel through the glass over Will's shoulder, screamed of nothing but fear. Alexandru knew Nigel, knew him on a deep and personal level.
"Would you mind rolling down your window, Dom O'Gram?"
Will looked over his shoulder again to the man standing outside. A lit cigarette perched between lips as he sucked back nicotine and smoke, waiting for the window to drop. Will grabbed the old handle and rolled the glass down, letting the bad man lean in closer with a grin like a shark, one arm resting on the roof of the car.
"Alexandru, it's been a while."
Nigel's voice was almost a purr, molasses and honey soaked with poison.
"Where is it you're off to today?"
Alex's eyes darted between Will and the bad man looking at them.
There was a whole new kind of terror eating away at the officer as he tried to fake a smile at Nigel that wouldn't leave Will suspicious. It wasn't working. The empathy already experiencing the dread sitting like a rock in Alex's belly.
"I'm just showing my new partner the ropes,"
he explained, indicating Will in the passenger seat.
"Dummel Graham, this is..."
Nigel cut him short, the bad man blowing a curl of smoke to disappear in the wind.
"I know who he is, Alexandru. We met last night, he and I."
The officer's face, if possible, blanched more.
"He mentioned that to you, did he?"
That shark-toothed smile turned to Will.
"Sorry, darling, this will only take a moment."
And then he switched to Romanian, the words falling off his tongue with practiced ease.
"Alex, am nevoie de tine pentru avide, avideți un pașe pentru mine. Sreza sa purivasa asta?"
Alex nodded, swallowing hard as he looked from one man to the other. From Will to Nigel. He didn't want Will there in that moment, didn't want him playing a witness as he made a deal with the devil.
"Asta nu va fi o problemă, domnul lector."
Whatever he answered seemed to be enough for the bad man shutting up his partner. Nigel hit the roof of the car twice, stepping back from the vehicle in a dismissal. Alex rolled the engine, ready to pull the old Volkswagen away from the curb, as Nigel's familiar voice called out in one last request, a warning or order. It was another phrase Will didn't understand, but he knew the tone. The warning look on his Nigel's face, and it was nothing good.
"See, Alex. Fissa mai etat. Tu nu vrendemic, varu se in tupla, se tu tupla. Se in temple, se will in temple. Se in ingregerere, domno viestra."
Alex nodded, two quick jerks of his chin, and pulled away from the curb.
"I'll see you tonight, darling."
Nigel called into the wind after the speeding car, as the agents pulled away to speed down the poorly kept street.
"What the hell was that about?"
Will demanded, rolling up the window as they took off down the city streets at twice the speed as what was legal back home. He feared driving in Bucharest. Feared it bad enough not to want to know what the fatality rates of car accidents were for the Romanian city.
"It was about nothing,"
Alex snapped, sending Will sideways glances that had the profiler working through the puzzle pieces scattered in his mind. There was a lot more to Nigel than he'd previously suspected. The man's control over an officer leaving Will more than a little disturbed.
"Nothing that concerns anyone but myself and Domo Lecter,"
Alex corrected. Will wasn't happy with that answer, though. Nigel was becoming more dangerous to be around by the second. It didn't help matters when Alex searched for more information on the topic to be.
"Was it Domo Lecter you ran into last night?"
He looked as though he were hoping the answer to be no. Will decided not to give him what he wanted. Will needed truths and trust, and neither was to be won with falsehood and lies. "Yeah, I ran into him in a bar while trying to lose the pair that had been chasing me." Will watched the tightening around Alex's jaw, the whitening of knuckles as fingers gripped the steering wheel too tight. "Is that a problem for you?"
"No, of course not."
He flexed his fingers, forcing them loose as he turned a sharp corner that reminded Will that he was still very hungover and still very much wanted to throw up. He took a deep swallow of coffee, hoping to keep the bile down with the pull of the scalding brew. "What's he blackmailing you with?" It didn't take a genius to see that the man was being held under his thumb with something. Nigel had some kind of dirt on Alex he was forcing him to do work with. What kind of work and what he had, Will couldn't begin to guess. But he could see that Alex didn't like it. He didn't want to work with Nigel, didn't enjoy doing as the bad man asked of him. He feared him the way that children feared the boogeyman. Waiting for the monster to step out of the work of shadows and into his home of light, if only for long enough to pull him into the darkness and have the officer drown with him. Alex worked his jaw, searching for the right words, possibly to explain himself with, possibly to tell Will to shut up and mind his own damn business.
"You spent your night with him,"
he reiterated.
"Meaning there will be no police report."
Will's brows shot to the ceiling. It wasn't the answer he'd been expecting.
"Excuse me?"
He laughed, but there was no humor in it. It was dark and disbelieving.
"I need you to keep this secret, Will. I need you to trust me and keep Domo Lecter to yourself."
His voice was flat, determined. And Will could read the need in it, the begging for compliance. Whatever it was Nigel had on him, Alex was buried so deep he couldn't see the light. "You want us to forgo the report?
Pretend none of last night happened? He asked as they pulled up to his apartment.
Alex killed the engine, falling back into his seat much as Will had done the day before, tired and worn. He suddenly looked years beyond himself, the happy man Will had met at the airport gone, replaced with a struggling husk of who he used to be. Will wondered how he could have missed such a devastation in the man upon their first meeting. Either Alex was an expert at hiding himself, or the jet lag and too few hours of sleep had taken a greater effect on him than he'd expected.
"Please, Will, don't ask me anything,"
he said quietly, his eyes trained on the leather of the steering wheel before him.
"I need you to keep this quiet, strictly between us."
The man looked as a trapped rabbit caught in a noose, as though he was just waiting for the wire to ring tight and strangle him, as though it would be a relief when it finally did.
"I covered for you this morning, Will. You could have been sent back to America if I hadn't."
Blackmail. He was so desperate to keep this skeleton in the closet that he would threaten Will's job.
"I need you to keep last night's murder and everything pertaining to Domo Lecter to yourself from now on."
He at last turned to meet Will's eyes, and in their depths he watched that rabbit choke. He was already dead.
"Please."
"All right. I'll keep your secret."
"Where is Claudio?"
Marco Unger demanded, puffing the thick butt of an import cigar to send thick plumes of smoke to choke the air. He was an older man, beginning to bolt with a receding hairline of ash and eyes dark enough to be mistaken for black. They pinched in the corners, almost almond in shape, to hint at the fading Asian heritage on his mother's side.
"He was supposed to be back hours ago."
He dropped a flush on the poker table and grinned, pulling in several thousand in winnings from the men who played. He loved to gamble, lived for the thrill of chance and luck. It was how he'd gotten so far, how the man had built his business. Luck and chance and the good fortune of God smiling upon him. In his youth, his father had traded him to a mafia man as labor in exchange for an extension on a loan that would one day be his death. Actually, Marco had been the one to deliver that death upon him. A golden moment in his life, and the first stepping stone in rising to the ranks where he stood now, at the top of the pyramid. That one bargain made by his father would turn out to be the trait that turned Marco's life around, changed his path from one of scrimping and scrounging for scraps on the street to one of power and money. He watched the boys play, gambling off handfuls of money and bills like pocket change, winning it big or losing it all, and decided then that he would be one of those men walking away from the table with a pocket full of bills. He bought his first pack of cards that very day, playing against himself in a book borrowed from the local library until he learned every card of chance in a game that could be had in a play of poker. Now he enjoyed both winning and losing. Too much money to care about the little lost to his men and around with a few thousand sitting in the pot.
"Claudio didn't come back yesterday."
Fane, another of his boys, older, more skilled in the business of illicit activities than most and his right-hand man, supplied.
"He was forced to go to the dentist after meeting with Lecter."
Marco didn't enjoy conversations pertaining to Lecter. The man had seemingly appeared out of thin air to build himself an empire in Bucharest, and claim whole sections of Marco's territory almost overnight, some 6 years ago. He'd never been able to find out much on the man, other than that he'd shown up some 2 years prior to his takeover to stake a claim on his turf, and start up his own less-than-legal business with Darko. He'd been making Marco's life a living hell ever since.
"What did he do to Claudio?"
he asked with a growing ire as he laid down the cards and stood to meet Fane eye to eye. The man didn't flinch, calmly adjusting his glasses as he was stared down by his boss.
"I'm not entirely sure. He was unable to tell me due to the teeth curved down his throat."
It was obvious the boy had been made to eat pavement,
though the how of it would be unclear until he could either hold a pen or speak. The amount of pain he was suffering when he'd stumbled through the door the night before had left him nearly incoherent. Fane had been the one to greet him at the door, rushing him to the first emergency clinic that would take cash without questions. Given the recent body count turning up all over the city, Claudio should have counted himself lucky to be alive after meeting with Nigel Lecter. Though they had no proof on the matter, no one doubted it was his brutal signature stamped on bodies of each crime scene found with one of their men hanging in display. A warning to stay off turf that never should have been claimed.
"That cunt!" Marco roared,
grabbing the chair that he'd occupied to shatter against the wall. Splinters flew, the men who had sat peacefully with their leader enjoying vodka and cards a moment before, scattering to avoid their leader's wrath as he unleashed his anger upon the room.
"This is the sixth man! The sixth to be blooded under that squeaking cunt's hands in the last 2 months!"
He kicked another chair, the wooden piece flying across the room to be caught by another bystander who knew better than to get in the way. "Yes." Fane stepped behind his leader, patiently waiting for the brunt of his anger to pass in a fury against the furniture. "But this will be his last. If he means to keep us away through murder and exhibits of violence, then we should bring the violence to him." He walked the short distance to another man in the room, one who had unfortunately arrived with his partner in Fane some 10 minutes ago. "You said you had something to show Marku." Their leader looked to his men. Still huffing from the wealth of his anger, and he looked from one to another. A ginger not too much younger than himself, his penny-colored hair streaked with silver where the dye had begun to fade from the silver strands. He also had a bruise by his temple where a shoe had collided with his face. He'd wanted to speak on the matter with their boss, but he hadn't wanted to approach it while the man was red in the face with anger.
"The hit on Loki was a success,"
the man began, dry swallowing as he hoped that the delivery of good news, of Darko's right hand successfully being removed, would lessen his anger.
"However, we were seen while doing it."
Because telling him they'd been caught was going to do shit for the man's mood. Marco sneered, his lip curling as he waited for his henchmen to continue. Because there had better be more to the story than "we were seen."
"Did you kill him?"
he prompted when the man chose to think instead of speak. That wasn't an option. Thinking gave time for lies to form, for man to make a poor decision and try to pull the wool over Marco's eyes. He wasn't going to allow Soren the time to come up with anything better than the truth.
He got away."
Soren swallowed again, trying to wet his throat with the moisture that wasn't there, a thin sheet of perspiration beginning to shine on his brow as he faced his enraged boss.
"He got away."
He looked to Fane, his face reddening more.
"A man watched you kill Loki, and you let him get away. You were seen, and you let them get away!"
Spittle splashed down the fearful man's face as a meaty fist collided with a splintered cheap drywall by his head.
"He ran into Ouroboros. We couldn't follow him."
He defended quickly, drawing those dark eyes back to himself. Ouroboros was Nigel's turf, and everyone knew it. The gentleman's club, his way of laundering money. It wasn't run by him, at least not on paper. But everything within and around it could still be controlled by the bad man behind the scenes. He ran the show from the shadows, pulling strings to make his puppets move and show them where to turn. Marco was working on composing himself, deep breaths to soothe his rage back to simmering as he pulled his hand from the wall.
"Soren, tell me that there is a happy ending to this story."
He looked at the skinned flesh of his knuckles, the white powder hiding reddening skin and highlighting the dot of blood that pooled on his knuckle, where the board and nail had caught the skin on the other side.
We caught him trying to leave out the back door. He was with Nigel."
Another voice chimed in, black hair slicked back from a face with a little too much gel and eager fingers. The partner Soren had entered with.
"We didn't catch him. Nigel knocked us out, but we grabbed the witness's jacket, got his wallet."
This seemed to ease a little anger, their leader extending a fat hand for the stolen cowhide.
"He was with Nigel, and you grabbed his wallet."
He smiled.
"Was there anything interesting in it?"
They knew what he wanted.
"We think he's a tourist,"
Fane offered, handing Mark with a salt piece.
"I say was. Not too many men would stick around after witnessing a murder. He should be on his merry way back to America with the next plane out of Bucharest."
That seemed to satisfy him, the man calming back to his usual composed self.
"I see."
He pulled the thin plastic driver's license from its pocket and looked at the name. There was nothing else of value to him in it. A handful of bills he'd leave for the boys to pocket, and a credit card most likely cancelled and useless.
"So this William Graham is someone Nigel wants to protect?"
Marco touched the card to his lips, tapping it as he considered this new development.
"I think you're right, Fane. I think our new friend William has most likely run home."
Oh, but he couldn't have that. Marco didn't like leaving loose ends, especially when it came to Nigel. Nigel had created more than a few loose ends for Marco, and he was chasing that man with fire to burn his end and stop them from unraveling. William seemed like a lovely enough piece of string to torch on his behalf.
Soren, Tiberiu.
The red and black-haired man stepped forward. Tiberiu was considerably younger than his partner, Soren having an easy 20 years on the youthful man.
This is your mess. See to it that you pay William Graham a visit.
They turned to each other and back to their boss.
We're going to America.
Soren searched for confirmation. I believe that's what he said. Finn confirmed for them, making the simplest hand gesture to urge their men on the way. They took the hint, turning from the room to hurry on their new mission.
Tiberiu!
He called after the younger male, earning a glance from weary green eyes as he threw the forgotten wallet to the duo. License returned to the card slip inside.
You should probably return this.
He smiled.
Heavens know he must be looking for it.
Marco laughed, a deep bellow to echo after the pair, as they hurried away to catch their flight.